Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to Elton and John's La Liga Weekly. So Messi's off, or is he? We're told he's not negotiating to extend his contract beyond 2021. Bad news, Barca fans, of course. But next summer also happens to be the scheduled date for the next presidential elections. They love a bit of politics, these footballers, you know. The title is a long shot, 4 points behind Real Madrid, 4.5 if you consider the head-to-head, and no control over any games. I spent 10 minutes the other night wondering whether Rakitic was a left-back. Oh, for Ernesto Valverde. When Barca were really boring and they lost all their crucial Champions League matches. Still, at least Barca fans get a say once every 6 years. You could be Valencia supporters. Peter Lim's daughter Kim showed her skills of diplomacy and leadership by telling the fans, the club is ours, we can do anything we want, and no one can say anything about it. My prediction is that Valencia will be playing in front of virtual crowds for a while, yet much easier than dealing with actual humans. We might have a relegation battle on our hands after Mallorca's 5-1 win over Celta Vigo, where two things were confirmed. One, that penalties can be won by just running into the box and falling over. And that there is no VAR. There's no one there. It's like the salesman pretending to ring his boss and get a final discount, but the phone isn't connected to anything. The person on the other end of this connection has looked at the TV and he confirms that I am right. Leave me alone. I suspect that Terry would like the VAR not to have been in operation at Sheffield United yesterday in the Premier League. I know this is Premier League, Terry, but the madness of the current interpretation of handball struck again. A law made entirely for the convenience of the referee, if ever there was one. If you're regular watchers of La Liga, you don't watch the Premier League. Fair enough. But that handball, it's maddening, the handball law, Terry, isn't it? It's just anti-football.
Yeah, and we've said on the podcast quite a few times that sometimes you feel that they're looking for a reason to disallow a goal. And I mean, you saw Chris Wilder on the bench. He was fuming with his players. He was not appealing for anything. His players weren't appealing for anything. And ultimately, the referee allowed advantage for Harry Kane to go on and score after Moura was bundled over and then someone smacked the ball at him. It's not even clear whether it hits his hand. It's like someone whacks the ball right into his body and he's falling down and in a natural position. It was incredible. And as I said, we have to stop this looking for, you know, reasons to disallow goals. The offside ones are similar as well. You look and you've got these lines. I don't trust the lines. I really don't. I don't think the technology is there. Sometimes I see the lines on the offside look. Decision, and I'm thinking, no, that needs to be shifted. That one needs to be shifted over. That one's not level. You know, when it was the ball released, there has to be a clear. It has to be clear. The ones, it's quite easy. When you see it, you see a replay and you go, oh, God, yeah, no, he's offside. Disallowed. Fair enough. The ones where we start getting the lines out and you're looking at different parts of the body and you're thinking, is that the right part where the blue line is on? Is that the right part of the red line on the defender? I think we're then in a dodgy territory. And I think that
because it's madness.
Yeah, it really is.
Because I mean, they look.
Naked eye, just the naked eye. If you see it, you can see, oh, he's in front. There was one the other week, Benzema against Eibar. On the naked eye, he looks offside. But when they put the lines up, the lines were shifted here and they were shifted there and they weren't straight. And it ended up being allowed as a goal. And the first view you had of it, he was ahead. He was ahead of the defender. And it was quite, I thought it was quite straightforward.
I don't mind when a goal is given. Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind when a goal is given when it maybe shouldn't have been on a really sort of closer examination. I do have an objection to goals being disallowed all the time, though, because I think that's against the spirit of the law. Because the thing, as you say, with those lines, so they're trying, you know, they're doing this sort of, you know, junior school trigonometry, trying to get these lines and trying to figure out, you know, the angle of the camera and all of that kind of stuff. But unless you're doing the same on the guy's foot who's playing the ball, then it's pointless, isn't it? Because you think, well, we've got that to a millimetre, but hang on, the image on the ball leaving his foot is blurred, so you don't know to the millimetre when it's left his foot.
I think the naked eye is the one you can tell. You know, if you've got the right camera angle and you can look across and you think, oh, that shirt is ahead of that shirt, onside, offside. Once you start splitting it up, I think it makes it easier.
In cricket, you have, and we don't have a lot of crossover with our audience here, but in cricket, you have an umpire's call area where there's just basically a zone around the stumps for an LBW where they admit that it's not entirely clear. So it's basically they just leave it with whatever the umpire said. And it's actually quite good because, say, if you had the same, you had, say, the striker's zone of, like, you know, I don't know, 3 inches, or obviously it wouldn't be allowed inches, 10 centimetres. And then, so if the argument then comes down to, was it 8.5 or 9.5 or 10.5 centimetres, that's irrelevant because he's offside. So it's just infuriating. But it's the combination, the handball thing, is the combination of the change of the handball law. So any touch off an attacker's hand, as you say, even if it's hoofed into him as he's been shoved to the ground.
And they didn't get a foul. They didn't get a free kick either.
That was a mistake, wasn't it? They should have gone back and given him his foul, shouldn't they? Because they shoved him over.
Yeah,
as John Egan, it hoofs the ball as he's falling over. And as you say, it was probably his arm, but it might have been into his side, mightn't it? But it's the combination of that, because we've seen them in La Liga, we've seen them in everywhere, haven't you? That, you know, one's bound to flicking off a guy's sleeve as it goes past him who had nothing to do with it. It's a law made by referees for their own convenience. They want the certainty because they're sick. Admittedly, they're sick of us moaning at them. I get that. I get the media has played a part in this, and fans and managers. You know, we've all been guilty of moaning too much at referees when, you know, there's nothing they could have done about it. But anyway.
I was the one, though, that suggested this law. Remember some years ago when I said it's black or white. If it hits his arm, it's a handball.
Yes.
But I didn't mean it to go this far. There has to, you know, it was. It's extraordinary now that is the way that the laws have gone. So it has to be changed, has to be rectified. How they're going to come about, or, you know, making the best of VAR, because it is a good tool to have, but we don't want it to the detriment of the game, and we're getting that now. Too many the goals are disallowed, and we're seeing goals consistently disallowed now. Where you've got no idea until they look. You know, people do claim for offsides and they claim for a handball. That's normally an indication that a team feel that they've been wronged. But we're now seeing goals disallowed, and you're needing replays to find that reason why. And it's ludicrous. It has to stop. It has to change. We're seeing the joy going out of the game, because there's a lot of cases now where teams are not even celebrating. It's a half celebrate. You know, and supporters will go down that road as well, where they'll be thinking, well, hang on, you know, it's a scruffy goal. Is it going to be allowed? And everyone lines up in the centre circle. And then in some cases, you know, we're seeing the delay is so long. If you're not watching a game and you're looking at, you know, at this current moment in time, I'm watching Spanish football, but keeping an eye on other games that are being played in Spain, other games that are being played in the Premier League. And sometimes the score comes up, someone's winning 2-0, and then later on you see it was 1-0. Because it was disallowed, where no one expected it to be disallowed.
For real, especially that last night.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, William Jose's early goal last night.
they all celebrated, didn't they? And everyone went back and, you know, and then I think, oh, actually, it was offside, was it? Like some time later, it's a problem, isn't it? I would move to an appeal system. That's what I would do. So if that, say, Espanyol last night, if they thought that William Jose was offside, or if they thought he was close to offside, then they could appeal, basically, and you lose your appeals. You're like in tennis, basically, exactly like in tennis and in cricket, in fact, where, so basically you think you've been done bad, you've been ill-served, you appeal. If your appeal is successful...
Imagine footballers, John. Every single goal that goes in, they'll be hands up appealing. And
I would say you'd have to... The problem with football, it's a good point. The captain would have to do it because everyone goes... in cricket, it is the captain. So they've got like 15 seconds or something. So the big appeal, not out. And they're thinking, and the bowler basically says, oh, he's definitely out. But the captain's got to call it because the emotions... You know, if you're the one who's just... conceded the goal or scored the goal, your emotional response is, yeah, it's a goal. But the captain's got to keep a level head. In football, or crucially, you wouldn't, if you allow them too much time, they'll, because they've got the laptop boys at the side of the pitch, you can't let those, you couldn't allow them enough time for them to start
to do that,
putting red lines and blue lines and stuff all over. But I would do that. That's the way to save the VAR. Anyway, shall we talk football?
Please, 9 minutes, 45 seconds. We've been talking about VAR.
Right. Well, let's liven ourselves up, shall we? Let's go Real Madrid first.
Just going to have a drinks break, John. Just going to have a drinks break now.
I'll have a chat with you, your personal coach.
I've got four subs here sitting and waiting as well. I've got four stoppages. I can bring four subs on.
Right. So Real Madrid are probably going to be the champions of Spain, Terry, in a couple of weeks' time, but they're not exactly doing it in a glorious manner.
No, they're not. I must admit, the first three games back where they were really good. Real Sociedad, Valencia victories. It was a straightforward enough win against a shadow Eibar team. But since then, the performance, the results, can't criticise the reports. They've won 6 out of 6. So it's hard to be critical. But I think that the three recent games, they're stumbling towards it. And I must admit, the first three games, I was thinking, you know, Man City, you're going to have to be careful here in the second they get a Champions League, because Real Madrid look really good. They're really at it. But in the last three, the performances have deteriorated. But they're getting the wins. They need to play better. Athletic away. Their next game is going to be a tough fixture. It does look pretty straightforward after that. Villarreal at home is one of their tougher games. Granada away could be awkward if they don't play well. And they finish off with a game against relegated Leganés, because they're not going to have any chance to stay up. So it should be Real Madrid's. I mean, but it's been that type of season, John, where you're looking at the amount of games that those two clubs at the top have failed to win. Is extraordinary. I mean, Barcelona failed to win 12. Real Madrid have failed to win 11. That's not normal. So they need to play better and they need to be focused. Ramos is the key for them at the moment. Since they came back, various players have done reasonably well. But Ramos is the consistent, you know, scoring goals, making sure that they're keeping, you know, focused at the back, not making mistakes. Because as bad as they played against Getafe, and Getafe outplayed them, but Getafe never had that cutting edge in attack because Ramos was there, you know, and then he's the player that's driving forward to try and get the winning goal. And of course, his team do get a penalty and he's the one to step up and take it. So he has been absolutely crucial, particularly when Varane went off with the mystery. It was a mystery injury, really. I mean, he does get the ball in the face, but we've seen far worse. So that to bring Milito on, doesn't look secure at the back for Real Madrid, so Ramos was needed even more. And he's the player that's driving them onto a league title. And it'd be a massive surprise now if they don't do it. But there's still work to do. From their point of view, I'm not sure Barcelona will continue to win every game. So that does ease the pressure on Real Madrid. But 4 points lead with 5 games to go and the head-to-head, it would be catastrophic if Real Madrid were to not win the league title now. And if they win, they've won 6 out of 6. I mean, if they continue winning in this fashion, they 100% they will deserve to win the league title. It's proven to be a marvellous finish to the season for them. But as I said, there's still work to do. They haven't won it just yet.
Yeah, well, let's sort of merge into Barcelona as we go, shall we, as we discuss the league title. Because as you say, they both got difficult games this weekend, haven't they? So Real Madrid away to Athletic and Barcelona away to Villarreal. Barca then got Espanyol the week after that. They've actually got quite tough games, Barca, or tougher games than
I think the Villarreal one is the one. The Villarreal away, and then I think they win the next four. I think they beat Espanyol. It's at home to Espanyol. I mean, everyone's beating Espanyol. And then they've got Valladolid away. Well, it could be tricky. It won't be easy because Valladolid are good defensively, well organised. That'll be hard. Osasuna at home, that shouldn't be a problem for Barcelona. And Alaves away. So I think that the Villarreal one is key. If they get the win there and Athletic manage to get something against Real Madrid, title race is you know, sort of back on. But I'm not sure Villarreal, Barcelona will beat Villarreal away from home. So that's going to be key. Athletic, Real Madrid, two great games this weekend. And then Villarreal do go to travel to Real Madrid. So Villarreal got a little bit of a say in the destination of the title. But it's not over yet. Real Madrid favourites, work to do. Same as the teams towards the bottom end of the division that thought they were safe. They've got a bit of work to do. I still think there's a slim title race going on.
You mentioned away from home. I'm not sure there is. Is there away advantage anymore? Round of games we've just had, five away wins. I haven't studied it, but I suspect it's not quite the advantage it was, the away from home. Anyway, it's by the by. Let's talk about Barca.
I think when you look at the games, Sevilla should win at Leganés, shouldn't they? That's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. Valencia, if you look at their form, is woeful. They're lucky there's no supporters in the stadium. That explains that reason. Alaves are playing awful. Lost 5-1-1 in the six since the return. Not surprised then to see Granada get the win. And Eibar or Osasuna, that really could go. That game could go either way. Eibar have been good. They went at Granada in their last game. I still think it does play in a slight advantage being at home, even irrespective of the fact that there's no supporters there. Familiarity does help. Travelling does help as well. I mean, you're looking at some of the teams at the Mallorca in particular have to fly to every game, and I've no idea what the aggro is like in terms of staying over before the game and stuff like that. So I still think it's an advantage to be not travelling.
I think the stats
playing in your own stadium are getting familiar.
The stats are slightly in favour of the home teams, I think, but not as much as normal, which would sort of make sense, wouldn't it? That the fans play quite a big part, but not the whole part of it. Shall we talk about this Barcelona Atletico game? It was exciting. It was, you know, not all the games have been exciting since the restart, have they? But exciting, chaotic. Diego Costa managed to score an own goal and miss a penalty, and all of that in the first few minutes of the game. But Barcelona, as you said last week, that they don't control any games. They don't run the game at the moment, and that was the case here, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've been ahead four times in the last two games and drawn them both 2-2. So at no stage against Celta Vigo did they think about, well, we've got the advantage again. You know, they got the first goal in that game, but then it went 1-1, then 2-1. At no stage did they think, right, there's, you know, at the very least, we're going to be hard to break down at the back, keep our full-backs at home, Busquets sitting in front, and we're not going to get caught on the counter-attack where we've got a lack of numbers back defensively. And exactly the same thing happened against Atletico. You know, they get the early goal, Costa. They know Atletico is so difficult to score against. Then they give away a stupid penalty from Vidal. Absolutely ridiculous. With all his experience, why he's making that type of challenge was ludicrous. And then they get the penalty themselves. They go 2-1 up. Was there any thought then of making sure we don't get caught on a counter-attack? No. And it happened time and time again. And by the end of the match, you're looking at it and thinking, do you know what? Draw was probably a fair result. If anyone shaded it in terms of looking the more cohesive, organised, better coach team that had a plan, it would have been Atletico. So it was. It's extraordinary how the lapses in concentration in these last two games have cost them 4 points. just by not having game management, and that, that comes from the likes of Piqué and Umtiti against Celta, Piqué and Longley. They should be screaming at their fullbacks to get back in position to make sure that Busquets, which in fairness he does, stays in front of the defenders, stays, you know, even with the midfield players are on the pitch at the time, make sure we're nice and solid. Jesus Christ, we've got Messi and Suarez up front. We're leading by a goal. Just leave them two up there. Let's, you know, the rest of us get a shape and make sure we're not going to make mistakes. We're not going to give away cheap goals. I mean, Celta should have won that. I mean, from a winning position, Celta could have won that 4-2. Nolito had an open goal. Nolito had a chance that just went wide. And, you know, it's winning has to be, you know, for Quique Setién, certain stages of the games at this stage of the season, when your team are ahead, you have to shut the thing down. And that's been the big difference between Real Madrid and Getafe. I mentioned about Real Madrid not playing particularly great, but they're not conceding chances. They're not conceding goals. And that will probably, you know, be the difference between the two teams. It was reckless from Barcelona. The game against Atletico, the game against Celta. I mean, I'm talking about one issue for Barcelona, but there's many issues they need to sort out.
It would seem to be, Terry, a lack of leadership. I think you could say this on and off the pitch. Could you not, about Barcelona, in that, you know, what you described there, you know, Piqué, compare that to Ramos, not driving the team forward. Messi is an obvious leader because of his ability, but he's not, you wouldn't pick him out as a massive leader of men, would you, Lionel Messi, for all of his brilliance as a player. And then they appoint a coach in a weak position, really, and there seems to be little faith in Quique Setién, and no one really expects him to be around in the long term. And, you know, it's everyone looking forward to the next presidential elections, as I mentioned at the start, but, you know, they're not due to be held for a year, until a year from now, and that could end up with another season of chaos. You know, someone needs to show some responsibility there.
Well, it does. That comes from the top. I mean, Bartomeu is in charge of the club, and it's going to drift along because he's not going to get another spell. He can't. And it needs massive change, and it needs leadership from the top. I feel for Quique Setién to a degree. The game against Celta, when they had a drinks break and they all came over, no one was listening to him. People weren't listening to Edu Sarabia, the assistant manager. But I thought the effort, they actually made an effort the other night when they were aware that probably, you know, people were looking, the cameras were focused on, were they together in the drinks break? And I think they made an effort. Messi was listening to Sarabia. He was listening to Quique Setién. So I think there was a sort of embarrassment of how they behaved in the Celta game. But no, it's players need to be, you know, leaders. But I think that the big story has to be what's happening with Griezmann. He didn't, that, you know, Fati comes on before him. Griezmann comes on in the 90th minute. I'm not sure how to take Simeone's remarks about he has no words, because I think it'd be easy on face value to think, you know, Simeone was asked, what did you think about Griezmann coming on? And the way he said, I have no words. And I think people took it as he was disgusted with Barcelona treating a player like that. I'm not sure. I mean, he's probably got the ump with Griezmann leaving in the first place. And also he's probably thinking, this has got nothing to do with me whatsoever, so I've got no words. So it'd be interesting to see how he you know, views. He probably doesn't care. It's got nothing to do with him. And he probably hacked off that he was asked. But I think it is such an issue. Griezmann should have come on 20 minutes earlier, at the very least, for Vidal. When he eventually came on for Vidal in the 90th minute, Vidal could be one of those players that holds his position and be more defensive-minded, but he's not. Crashes about all over the place. No discipline in terms of his positional play. Gets praised for his aggression and his ability to win the ball back, and no one mentions the fact that he's indisciplined, cost the team. His erratic passing costs the team. So I think he's a symptom of why Barcelona are hit and miss. And I thought that you could have gone with, against the team that were playing on the night, 4-4-2, Atletico. Barcelona could have gone 4-4-2. They could have had Fati and Messi wide, could have put Griezmann up front with Suarez, and you could have kept a couple of midfield players on. So there was in order to try and win a game that they had to win. So it was bizarre seeing that, you know, even the substitutions, Roberto coming in for Rakitic, straightforward swap, Fati for Busquets. If you're going to take a midfield player off, you know, after you've already taken Rakitic off, why not Vidal? Why not leave a defensive player on? You know, it was, there's so much wrong at Barcelona. And it's going to drift until Bartomeu is gone. It's just going to drift. And we're going to have the issue now, the next transfer window. Who are they going to bring in? Who are they going to sell? And I'm not surprised that Messi's not hanging his hat on Bartomeu. I don't see him leaving Barcelona, but I see him being a political pawn for the next elections. Because
you're going to need Messi on side, aren't you, if you're standing?
Yeah, yes. And he'll you know, if he's going to stay, he'll declare that he will only stay if it's for a certain person that wins, you know, the wins the election. He won't stay if it's anyone to do with Bartomeu again. So I think that's the case with Lionel Messi. But they've been, you know, so poor, Barcelona, because of their, as I said, primarily their game management. Score two at Celta, that's not bad. Should be enough to win Barcelona a game. Score two against Atletico Madrid, that should be enough to win you a game. But it clearly isn't at the moment.
Let's roll on, actually, just before we take a break. As we're talking about clubs in shambles and the downs, as I think it was Winston Churchill, Terry, said something along the lines of, democracy is a terrible system until you compare it to everything else. because you look at the Barca situation and you think, well, they've got a year of shambles potentially coming up now as we prepare for an election, but you could be Valencia, couldn't you, with a guy in charge who doesn't know how to run a football club, seems to have lost interest in running a football club and openly treating the supporters with contempt. It was an Instagram post that she then deleted. But it's absolutely symptomatic, isn't it? So they've changed coach again. I'm losing track of when we do these podcasts at the moment, Terry. But so I think last time we discussed, you said Solades won't be around for long.
Yep.
You're right. Unsurprisingly, it's old Voro back. This is the 17th time we've done a podcast with Voro just taken over as the caretaker manager. And of course, there is no such thing as a new manager bounce again.
No, it's actually, you've exaggerated on the 17. There's no need to exaggerate. It's six. It's six times in caretaker. If I was the next manager coming in, do you know the first person I sack? Voro. Because he makes life far too easy for anyone at that club. Sack a manager, he's there in the background. I don't know what he does at the club. He's because he's not on the coaching staff, but he just suddenly appears. I expect him, when they like Voro, to appear out of the dark with a cloak on. To take over as caretaker man and some sort of superhero. But honestly, if I was the next manager, I'd say, yeah, I'm taking the job, but he's got to go because first.
I thought you meant, when you said a cloak, I thought you meant like death turning up with his scythe. As soon as you see Voro hanging around, you're like, oh, right, okay. It's that time, isn't it?
I mean, he's a great club man. I'm not being disrespectful. And I, of course, if I was the next manager coming in, I wouldn't sack him. But tongue in cheek, you'd be worried that, oh, God, he's looking over. He suddenly starts appearing, waving off the team bus when you're going to an away game. Oh, no. we got to win. So Valencia are desperate. I mean, the players have to take their share of it as well. The blame, I look at a bunch of players that feel sorry for themselves, that are not showing the application, the attitude to ever come back from being a goal down or a setback and anything like that. They're all looking at each other and shaking their heads at each other. They're all blaming each other. It's horrible to watch. The only good thing from Valencia's point of view is there are no supporters in there. Because if there was, could you imagine it? You know, it's an unforgiving crowd. They're playing in front of an empty stadium at the moment, and the players are getting away with it. Solades was never the right appointment. First, again, similar to Gary Neville, too big a job for first senior appointment as a head coach. And that was the case with Solades. And you could see the players weren't having him. He looked in pain on the bench. You could see it was all too much for him. I hope he can, you know, get his career back on track because he's a young manager. And it is sometimes hard to recover and you might not get another opportunity. So it's been tough on him, but that's not an easy job. Far from it. And Voro, 60 minutes into that game, he looked like he'd had enough as well. You know, he was looking at the goals they were giving away. I know, you know, Raul Garcia took the two goals incredibly well. First right foot, the second one for long range with his left foot. Had me checking up to see, is he two-footed? Because I didn't think he was. Right foot and good in the air, but he smashed one in from 30 yards. But both were gifted by, you know, Valencia giving away possession just outside their own penalty area. And then you see everybody shaking their head at each other and flapping their arms about and blaming everyone else. It looks it's a really tough job for any manager that goes in there next season, bearing in mind the ownership of the club and bearing in mind the state of the squad.
The one little, I won't dwell on this, we'll move on, take a break, but Foro, I did feel for him because obviously at half-time they'd had a conversation about not giving the ball away in dangerous areas. And what was it, 5 minutes after the restart, and Jaume Costa does exactly that and they score from it. I mean, to be fair to Jaume Costa, he did apologise, didn't he? He did accept his culpability. But yeah, they're a mess. Anyway, we'll come back with the best of the rest in a moment.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Okay, welcome back. Last week we said there was no relegation battle, but Mallorca just breathed a little bit of life into it. They thrashed Celta Vigo somehow. 5-1. Started off with we don't want to spend ages talking VARs again, Terry, but it was sort of important in this game, wasn't it? The early penalty won by Mallorca. So the 5-1 win over Celta Vigo and, you know, a little bit of hope.
Yeah, the first goal was crucial. Mallorca had been struggling, needed a boost, and they got it. And the fact that Danny Rodriguez fell over in the penalty area and VAR. Naked eye, I'm looking at that again on a quick first view in. I'm thinking that's not a foul and it's a yellow card for simulation. Mm. But it was given as a penalty. Budimir took it, smacked it home. And then from then on, Mallorca deserve a bit of good fortune as well. Let's be honest, they've had some tough luck this season. And they were absolutely fantastic after that. If they do go down, I think they're going to be a bit, they'll be a miss because the type of football they try to play, it can be very attacking. Some good young players. Cucho's got the second. Pozzo got the third. Budimir gets another one. That's 12 goals for him in a team that's possibly going to be relegated. Salva Sevilla wrapped one in the top corner. The quality of the finishing was fantastic. It might be too late, but you know, I'm looking at Alaves, who have lost 5 and won 1. And I've looked at their fixtures coming up. I don't see them winning another game. Mm. They've got a tough. So Alaves are the ones to catch if you're Mallorca. And you're looking at that and you're thinking, well, you know, we're 29 points. Alaves are 35, 6. It's, you know, I don't see Alaves getting too many more points. So it might be 36, 37. That enables Mallorca to stay up. Can they do that? Yeah, they can.
Do you know the head-to-head?
Will they do it? Probably not. No.
Hang on. Well,
I'm hoping you did.
I'm looking up while we talk, yeah.
So I know that, you know, you're looking at the fixtures coming up. It's for Alaves, there's some tough fixtures. I mean, it really tough. So as I said, I don't see them winning another game, Alaves. They're looking at their fixtures as we're going through here. And they start with Valladolid away. That's the relegation battle. Still, you know, Valladolid need to do more work. They then go to, they've got Real Madrid away. They've got Getafe at home. They've got Betis away. And Barcelona at home. So the way they're playing, as I say, they're getting goals in. That's the ones for Mallorca to catch. But that's going to be tough for Mallorca. They've got, as I say, you know, I like their spirit, two promotions, and they're still in with an outside chance of staying up. And you just know they won't give up. The other two, Leganés and Espanyol, have gone. I mean, there's no doubt about that now. That's a foregone conclusion. And Espanyol, it's a big story. It's a bigger story than we've spoke about, you know, in recent weeks, not just on this podcast, but in general, because this is the team that finished in seventh last season, got into Europe. For them to be rock bottom and in the position that they are is a huge story in Spanish football.
Yeah, and obviously they spent money as well, didn't they? So there are some, I know...
40 million.
That you know, one of your jobs is to look at Spanish footballers and make assessments of them. There are some good players up for grabs, isn't there, this at the end of this season who've been relegated.
Yeah, I mean, 40 million they spent in the summer. It was a big call for Raúl de Tomás to come back to La Liga to play for a team that was threatened with relegation. Adrián Barba from Rayo was 10 million euros. And Leandro Cabrera, you know, for decent money from Getafe. To convince those players to come, they must at that stage thought, you know, with us three and what we've already got there, we should be able to stay up. But it just hasn't happened. And now we've seen Abelardo losing his job. Rufete coming in and taking over as caretaker manager. You know, it's a mess. Yeah. So he's their fourth coach in the season. It seems that ages ago that we started the season with David Gallego as manager, Pablo Machin, Abelardo, and now we're on to Rufete. It's been a real mess. You know, maybe a warning for teams that are not used to being in Europe, starting their season early. I don't think that's the only reason, but, you know, the wrong managerial choice to start with, possibly. Did replace the players that left until they realised they were right in trouble in January and spent the money. So it's been a disaster for Espanyol. But it's a massive story for them to be relegated.
Over the years, they have bottomed out that club, though, haven't they? They've consistently sold players. When the owners came in, they were talking about the Champions League, which we all scoffed at, quite rightly. But they have been relying on the notion that they can just keep on producing players and keep on selling players and keep on not really investing. And then, as you say, invest too late. And then suddenly, in a panic, this season, change coaches too often, changing players too often. And it's, you know, it's a club that it's become alienated from its fans. And, you know, they're reaping what they've sown, Espanyol. And, you know, I don't have that much sympathy for the people who run the club.
Yeah, and you look at the squad, John, the squad has got a healthy dose of good young players and then seasoned, senior, quality, older professionals. And, you know, the likes of David Lopez, Espinosa, Cabrera, Didac Villa, they're all players, Adrián Barba, as we said, Sergi Dada, you know, Caleri, all players that played at this level for quite some time. Yet when you see them together now, it's woeful. I mean, they were... at least made a game of it against Real Sociedad in the 2-1 defeat. But after going ahead from David Lopez in the ninth minute, their only ambition then was to hold on. And they gave Real Sociedad confidence by sitting back, allowing Real Sociedad to play quite freely, playing the attacking half of the pitch. And slowly but surely, you know, Real Sociedad were able to get some confidence back by a team that was just relying on hanging on for 81 minutes to a 1-0 win.
Right, Betis nil, Villarreal 2. More evidence, if it were needed, that there's no such thing as a new manager bounce. But Villarreal, let's give credit actually to Villarreal, because neither you or I were particularly convinced by Kieja, his appointment, his return. But since this, since the return of football, they've been scorching form.
Well, I've got a theory on Kayaka that he loves a mid-season break. He had one last year when he was sacked, came back after 50, 60 days, I think it was, and he had 100 days off this year. So I'm yet to be convinced he can do it for 9 months, 10 months without a break. But no, joking apart, you know, they look like the VRL that we've become used to watching. And, you know, I'm finding he's playing with the two up front. Against Betis, it was Bacca and Moreno. Against Valencia, it was Alcacer and Moreno. Gerard Moreno is in brilliant form. I think he's the highest scoring Spanish player in La Liga. They're great to watch. They brought on Cazorla and Bruno together. I think it was 71 years combined age of those two. And when they came on, they were better than anything that Betis had. So it's great to see the Yellow Submarine playing in their style, being successful, and you know they've got a chance of challenging for a Champions League spot. 3 points behind Sevilla, 5 games to go. It's certainly game on. They've got Real Madrid, they've got Barcelona, but they're going to be good to watch for the last 5 games for Betis. Absolute shambles again.
Yeah.
You know, massive defeat last week where they got pasting at Levante, making the same mistakes against Villarreal at home. They're lucky there's no supporters in the stadium as well. They, you know, it's been a wretched season for Betis. And, you know, they clearly, they're going to be safe. But that's not good enough for Real Betis. With the money spent last year on Iglesias and Nabil Fekir, they were hoping for a European spot, and it was feasible when you looked at the squad. But they can't wait for the season to end now.
What did Fekir punch? Was it a TV monitor? Because he got sent off.
Yeah, he punched VAR. Yeah. He punched the VAR monitor.
Yeah.
It was unlucky. The descent that took himself into trouble, then a foul. I'm not entirely convinced it was a yellow card.
Mm.
But they came within 2 or 3 minutes of each other, and his temper got the better of him, and he smashed the living daylights out of a VAR monitor on the side of the pitch. And he's been one of their better players. He was their best player the other night. But even the better players at Betis now are suffering. Bartra's having a bit of a disaster. Canales was quieter the other night. Emerson did all right. They've got the players. They just need a senior manager. And again, it goes down to, we talked about Valencia, we talked about Espanyol, we talked about Betis. Probably the wrong managerial choices when Ruby was given the job last summer.
Yeah. So there are some good jobs around, aren't there? So which job would you take, Terry, if you could speak Spanish, which obviously you can to an extent. But more than just ordering drinks and asking the way to the railway station. But if you're Unai Emery's agent, where are you pushing him?
If it was me, I would want the Betis job.
Yeah.
But not if I was Unai Emery, because he's a Sevilla manager.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the issue there. So Valencia would be the obvious one for him. I think someone like Pellegrini would be good for Betis.
Do you think? I don't know.
You know, would Marcelino come with a baggage of being an ex-Sevilla manager?
Although he did a terrible job at Sevilla, didn't he? So, you know, it's probably all right, isn't it? It's the only one he was terrible at, Marcelino.
Yeah, I think he... Yeah, I think he could get away with being the Betis manager. I couldn't see the Betis supporters accepting Unai Emery. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Who else is Kike Sanchez? Flores is about as well. So the level of managers is there.
Yeah.
Pellegrini for Betis would be a good fit, I think.
Do you think? Because I don't see... I see a bloke who needs to go and sit on his farm or something in Pellegrini. I don't see any hunger in his eyes. And it's a club that needs a bit of work.
I think it depends on how much control he can have over the club. And I don't see Betis, the people that run Betis, I don't see them being controlling. And I think there is an element of at West Ham even maybe that, you know, the players, it might be one of those clubs where the manager doesn't have the final say in who comes in and who goes out and stuff like that. And I think that Betis... They would. I personally think it'd be a wise choice if he could tap into that market they used so well when he was Villarreal manager to build his own, you know, type of squad. And I think it with someone like Pellegrini, he's not going to work anymore because he needs money. I think the conditions have to be right. When they're right, then you know he can come in and build a team and start with a good base. Where they've got Betis. So as I said, there's quality managers about. It's just, you know, getting the right fit for your club. Ruby wasn't the right fit. I'm not saying he's a terrible manager. He wasn't the right fit for Betis. Maybe they jumped in too soon after one season where Espanyol qualified for Europe. How they did it, I don't know. Because he was due to get the sack 2 or 3 times that season. And somehow, because of the lack of other teams not doing so well in La Liga that season, Espanyol suddenly found themselves in seventh on the last day of the season. So they overachieved, he overachieved and possibly, you know, got over-promoted with the job at Betis.
Yeah, it's worked out well for everybody, that one, hasn't he? He's sacked and they're going there.
Jorge Iglesias as well, barely had a kick, barely scored a goal, doesn't do anything anymore. Really went well.
Let's do the remaining games in, I don't know, but 30 seconds. Actually, what have we done? We've talked about... we haven't done Sevilla. So give us a brief bit on Sevilla.
Yep, no, it was a straightforward game against their reserves. Three of their team players they don't want were starting for Leganés. Roque Mesa, Amadou and Brian Hill. Leganés are, I feel for them. Great character, great spirit, but they're going down. They'll go down fighting, but it was a straightforward win for Sevilla. Alaves, we spoke about briefly, terrible at home to Granada, who looked to be back at their best again, led by Bobby Soldado up front, who played amazing. And Valladolid Levante, it was the 0-0, but I promise you, being on this marathon run of games, it was a decent 0-0.
Yeah.
It's been a decent week of football. And before you know it, we finished one night, starts again the next night. So I'm looking forward to Atletico against Mallorca. We talk about Mallorca again, put enough points to stay up. It's not an easy game to start with.
No, we're just running the
match. It'd be interesting to see that the week 34 starts on Friday evening. With some good games coming up over the weekend.
Yeah, and so the crucial day is Sunday, isn't it? So UK time, 1 o'clock kickoff, Athletic against Real Madrid. And then evening game is Villarreal against Barcelona. So we could, title race could be well and truly back on, or it could be just about done by close of play Sunday night. So what is it? So then there's another game in this round on Monday, and then it's a new round again on the Tuesday, isn't it, as they start again. So at some point around then, we'll do another podcast, as long as you keep listening. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.